This is Adam Farrell reporting for Fred Film Radio at the London Film Festival, and earlier on I caught up with Ty Johnson, producer of Austin to Boston.
Austin to Boston is a music documentary with four bands travelling from Austin to Boston with about 10 different shows along the way, all in VW camper vans. So the tour takes in a lot of the Middle East or the Midwest, kind of, through the middle rather, and stops at places like Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Evanston, Chicago, Nashville, Philadelphia, Boston, Boston, New York, and Woodstock. Not quite in that order.
All over the shop, basically.
Yeah.
Had you been to these places before? Were you discovering it as the bands were discovering it?
I'd been to New York and Nashville and Austin, obviously, initially. I think possibly that was about it at the time. So, you know, places like Minneapolis and even Chicago, to be honest, I hadn't been to myself before. So, and you know, Kansas City and Oklahoma City, they weren't top of my agenda for places to visit myself. So, you know, that, in that respect, it was quite a nice opportunity to kind of to see some sides of the country that I wouldn't have got anyway. But yeah, it follows Ben Howard, The Staves, Bezden, and Nathaniel Ratliff. And also Gil Landry is involved, who's in Old Crow Medicine Show, who ends up narrating the film as well. And then Bed Lovett from Mumford & Sons as well, who co-produced the film with myself.
So before the tour, because when I watched the film, I was quite familiar with Ben Howard because he's quite big in the UK. But were you familiar with the artist before you signed on to do the film?
I was familiar, not so much on a, like, I knew them all, but didn't know their music well. I mean, I knew Ben Howard's, his album had been out for a little while in Australia, and which is where I'm based. And The Staves, I just kind of heard a little bit about. Nathaniel, I didn't know anything about. And Bezden, I knew a little bit about because I knew the previous bands that they were a part of. Andrew Davey and Kev Jones used to be in a band called Cherbourg, and I was a big fan of theirs like years earlier. So it was kind of a strange situation to find myself where, being a fan of the band themselves, I actually knew them probably more than anyone else, and yet they were the youngest kind of band going into that tour as well. So.
Yeah. Well, for me, that was one of the greatest things about the documentary, is you really get a vibe of the music and the camaraderie and sort of, you know, the wide-eyed wonder of just going on tour. And I know Bezden, that was the first tour they'd ever gone on.
Yeah.
And I suppose, do you think the film accurately sort of represents what the vibe was like on tour? I know it's one of those things where, you know, you can never know whether documentaries rose-tinting certain things or other things like that.
I mean, that was my biggest challenge, to be honest, in doing it. I mean, the whole, over the course of the last 12 months is really where the actual post-production has been done. So I completed it with my team actually out of Melbourne. And that was, like, going into it, I wanted to make sure that the final film was well represented as far as how it actually happened, as well as it being something that people can watch from an outsider's perspective and take from it as well. It's had to be accurate to what happened on the tour as well. So it very much was that kind of, like, that camaraderie and that real intimacy that happened, really unfolded over the course of those 12, 13 days or whatever, in a very genuine sense. And I kind of repeat that a lot when I talk to people about it, because in taking on the post-production side of it and producing it as a film, I did that because of the experience of being on the tour and knowing how genuine it was. And because if it wasn't, you would have had something about it that, like you say, you would have potentially gone into it with this kind of, you know, different perspective, and you don't want to paint a rose-tinted kind of perspective. You want to paint it accurately. So that was the thing. It was so fortunate that it was actually such a good time and such a bonding of all the people involved that it was an easy ask to kind of take it on, because that was the challenge, was making sure that it was represented as accurately as it could be. You know?
Nice. Well, you were telling me just before we started recording that taking on the film was a bit of a spur of the moment thing at South by Southwest. In terms of, you know, just logistically, like, how did you mobilise the equipment, the crew that you needed, and also an overview of what you wanted to capture on the tour. I mean, I'm sorry, his name escapes me again, but the narrator of the...
Gil Landry.
He had really, really great narration throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Was that something that you just, you know, was formulated whilst you're on tour, or something that you... that you sort of like planned out just before you even sort of stepped foot onto a VW camper van?
Yeah. I mean, the filming of the tour was planned by like James Marcus Haney, who's came on board. He had done some filming with Ben Lovett on the Big Easy Express, previous like film that he had done, and Marcus was just kind of a cameraman. I mean, Marcus has his whole... I'll let him tell that story if you ever get a chance. But his whole experience with getting in touch with Mumford and Sons and becoming, you know, good friends with them, kind of basically that opened the doors, and he became available to you know, document this tour. So going into it, it was just very much he was on board, and he had an extra cameraman. Other than that, there wasn't a lot of pre-planning, and a sound guy as well, obviously. But so, you know, having me added to the project, it still really wasn't much of a scope in terms of what we planned out, and like you say, logistically there wasn't really the opportunity for it anyway. We literally had to, as it kind of comes up in the film, we had to, you know, go play a gig and then get in the van and drive and then get there in time for sound check and literally get in the van again and drive and so on and so forth. So to actually find any opportunities to take those little departures and record the little sessions on the side or interviews with people, there wasn't much opportunity other than, you know, there are a few moments that, or interviews rather, that we might have filmed along the way that kind of perhaps didn't fit the narrative of the end result. But for the most part, it was sort of unfolding as it kind of happened, and that's sort of represented in the film, I think. As far as Gil Landry's kind of involvement, I mean, he became a key component of the film. I mean, there's other people like Carson, who's the really big Texan guy who has a joke about kryptonite at the Metropolis. Like, he had a lot of other moments that were going to be in the film as well. Like, he's just this class clown that everyone kind of got along with really well. And he just had a charisma about him that was just really interesting. So there was opportunity for him to potentially be more of a character as well. But Gil's presence is so poetic, even in his interviews in the film, that it just made sense for him to kind of carry that through when we started getting into the edit. And then he laid down those words, most of them himself, with a little bit of direction from myself and Marcus. But for the most part, it was his kind of stream of consciousness of kind of what happened. And a few points in particular, like where he's talking about the road being a fresh start and things like that, was all just kind of his memory of what happened and his experiences of doing it so many times. You know, he's one of those people that's been around a little while and has toured quite a while.
One of the people, I think it's sort of partway through the film, talks about how communion is almost physically represented by the VW camper fans, that it might break down, but it's quite cosy on the inside. And, you know, bearing in mind that sort of metaphor, like, for this film, could you have imagined when you were filming it that you'd be touring around these big film festivals with your little VW camper van of a film, I suppose?
No. I mean, at the time, the tour itself was such an experience that the memory of that was enough of a success, or however you want to put it, enough of a experience to take away from it and be satisfied that I got to be involved in that, personally at least.
That was Ty Johnson, producer of Austin to Boston, talking to me at the London Film Festival. You're listening to Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.